Self-sabotage is a real thing. We sabotage ourselves, y'all. We do it. I do it. We do it all the time. Because sometimes I don't even know what old norms I'm applying before I've said them out loud. Right? Like, I can't see it yet. I can just be like, this is deeply annoying me. Like, it is annoying me because when people do this, it means that. And it's like, whoa, where'd you get that idea from? It's like, oh, because that's what's existed for me up until this point. Or that's what's existed for me for this work I do over here. But that don't have nothing to do with the people over here and how they work. And in fact, it doesn't even mean that. So today I want to talk about adjusting to new norms. I think this is really relevant for our community. And this might be a little kind dragging of myself and all of us.
Hello, you are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Y'all. So the truth is, I get messages all the time from people who are like, whoa, 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 this is too good. I definitely want to do more. How can I work with you? Like, where is the front door? And so if that's you and you're a woman of color faculty in academic medicine or public health, just keep listening. The question is, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3X your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development or professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you are working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are, still working when you don't want to be on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our 6-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We help you learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to take the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, without suffering, then I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you will be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you really want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. See you soon.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the show. It's Kemi, and I'm happy to be here. I hope you all are doing well. I have had the kind of day that feels a little bit like an emotional roller coaster, but not in a bad way. I, in reflection, spent like about 3 weeks doing just a lot of emotionally heavy things, both in work and outside of work. And this isn't like a bad thing in that I feel like I have a lot of emotional intelligence and I'm often called to do roles that require those things. And that works for me. It feels good to be called to roles that you are good at. And yet things can still take a toll, you know, especially when everything piles up at once. So having said all that, I am actually doing pretty well right now in terms of, you know, using all of the tools at my disposal for restoration and rest and community, being poured into, connecting with others. You know, giving is always very restorative to me in the ways that I figured out how to do so. So all those things are the case. But I think that, well, I should say what I recognize is that all those things can be working, can be operating, but you can be in a place of like emotional porosity, you know, is what I want to say. Maybe a little tender, you know, and that's just where things are for real. And I mean, why do I share these vulnerable things with you all up front? I think to normalize that like all these things are happening while people are winning. All of these things are happening while people are killing the game out there, you know, while the person that you look up to just got some amazing high impact publication or somebody else you work with just got a huge grant or achieve something that you're working on achieving, or you are doing all those things. And like life is also just like also happening fully. And I think I just still hope for a day where we can be more open about all of that and not have it considered to be like unprofessional, you know, or not welcome. Because I think we actually have the capacity to hold a great deal of humanity, hold a great deal of seeing each other in a human whole way, including hard things, you know, without derailing any given work in front of us. So that's why I choose to share. But yeah, I'm good. Overall, I'm still really good. And I have had some great wins in the past few weeks as well. And so when I tap into those things, I'm like riding high off of those. And I'm grateful for them. Okay. Today, I want to talk about adjusting to new norms. I think this is really relevant for our community. And, you know, it's really interesting. I thought back and I'm like, okay, I must have talked about this on a previous podcast. We're at episode number 150 something at this point. Like I've talked about this, but I actually went back and I'm not sure I actually have in this way. I end up talking a lot about recognizing the norms around you, recognizing that they are just norms and maybe not what you want, recognizing like that you're discontent with your career or with your progress in your career or your environment, you know, might be a result of a mismatch between your actual goals for what you want for your career and what the institution, what your microenvironment, what your mentors, what your colleagues either want or expect from you. So, you know, we certainly have talked a lot about that and like turning the volume up on your inner voice, recognizing that most of us come through pretty long professional journeys whose like, I don't even want to say side effect, whose goal to some extent is to turn down that voice so that we can get things done and move through. And so we spend a lot of time on this podcast in this community talking about figuring out what you actually want and then feeling like you deserve to go after it and recognizing that not everybody is going to love it. But if you're really consistent about what you want and you're really clear about that and you've got some strategy on board and you got some community, you can make moves and change and shift your day-to-day, both internal and external experience so that your career actually does feel nourishing to you. So it does give back to you. So it does feel like something you want to do for the long term. So a lot of that is about activating our inner wisdom and turning that into like external, clear, consistent action steps that are aligned with that internal wisdom. And when you do that, you're often in some way, shape, or form changing contexts. Okay. Maybe you're changing institutions. Maybe you're changing settings within the same institution. Maybe you're changing the key people around you that you listen to. You know, maybe you're shuffling the deck a little bit, who those people are. Maybe all of those things are exactly the same, but you're changing what you're doing. So what the kind of conversations that you're having or whatever are different. But I think probably the easiest kind of example of what I want to talk about with adjusting to new norms is probably thinking of going to a new institution in that sense. I think if you start from there, you can probably extrapolate it to a lot of different things, but we can use that as the most simple. I just think it has like many other applications, especially as somebody that's moving through and doing different things in different contexts. So I want to start with a reminder that we all have the ability to recognize different rules that apply to different places. I actually have a friend who's a school psychologist, and she told me this very early on, like one of the primary kind of skills that children need to onboard is the ability to understand that like different environments can have different rules and different norms, and that that is okay. And that they then learn how to be in those different spaces. So, you know, your child goes to daycare, they understand daycare works a certain way, certain words mean certain things, et cetera. They come home, things might be different at home, certain words mean different things, et cetera. That's like something that there's like a normal developmental step of children. Shout out to everybody whose child naps at daycare, but not at home. I see you. I remember that phase. And I was like, what the hell? Okay. It turns out that's great developmental example of them understanding different rules for different places. But anyway, so all that to say is that I think we should start just recognizing like that we know how to do that. All of us know how to do this. And, you know, notwithstanding the terrible stories about Americans traveling abroad and behaving like absolute asses, we actually all do understand the concept of learning different norms around you and then adjusting yourself appropriately to be able to engage in like a functional and meaningful way in different environments. And we all do this. What happens, I think what happens is for us in our professional journeys, for women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, and all the other people who listen to this podcast, because I know there are a lot more of you out there, when you have spent a lot of time working towards a certain goal, like becoming faculty, things that take, you know, a decade of your life, for example, to get there, when you have worked that hard in like learning, quote unquote, the game and how you work and all those other things, it doesn't mean that you can't change contexts. You absolutely can. And I often encourage people to do so based on the struggles that they're having. But it does mean that you might actually not be as good as you think you are in adjusting to new norms. And so this is where this might be a little kind dragging of myself and all of us. Like, it is something I have noticed. I will be honest and say it's something that I have noticed also as a coach is that people work really hard to like make a big shift, do a big change, whatever. They get there and they start struggling, but they're not struggling in the same way they were before, but they have this kind of like confusion, like, wait, what's going on? I thought the whole point was I left to get away from XYZ, whatever. But what I found is like a lot of that struggle is not about the fact that they've recreated the same problem. It's not. They're not in a new toxic environment at all, right? They don't have new, you know, ridiculous, illogical expectations at all. They have a place where people are like, okay, I see what you want to do. We want to help you with it, et cetera. They have all those things. But what they are in is that they are in a place with different norms, different communications, actions mean different things, ways things flow are different. And the struggle that they hit up against is actually themselves adjusting to new norms. Now, I'm going to start to stop saying them at this point because this is me. You guys need to understand. This is 100% me as well. This is why I wanted to speak to it because I have felt it. I'm feeling it in some ways. And I was like, oh, we got to talk about this. And then I started realizing like, this is not new actually. And that's when I got so surprised that I hadn't talked about it directly on the podcast. So I want to talk through what I think are like the steps of adjusting to new norms, like actually break them down. So one, I just like kind of want us to see what it looks like because I don't really hear about it talked about that much. People are just kind of like, oh, you're new. You'll get to know. This is just how we do things here. But like, that's not actually helpful. And sometimes if you've been in a prior toxic environment and somebody says things like, oh, well, that's just how we do things here, that can trigger you. You can be like, oh, God, like this is not good. Like I just left a place that wouldn't change because that's just how we do things here. So I also think there's this problem where there can be similar language used for something that's actually not good for your long-term well-being to stay in a place in a certain context. And that same language can be used in a new place, but it doesn't indicate a problem. It just indicates a different norm. But if you are not adept at how you are going to adjust to that new norm, you can immediately see it as something negative, a problem, and like defenses go up and like we're not in a good place. So first one, step one is recognizing that what you're dealing with might be a new norm. And I want to say that this is hard to do. So it is really hard to do. Actually, I really struggled to like which example to give you all. And I'm not sure, honestly. But it can be hard to recognize what a new norm is. There can be a new norm, for example, in how people talk about time and like quote unquote due dates, right? And things. So you could be used to a place where it's like, if somebody says that something is due May 1st, that means that if you turn it in on May 1st, you're late. When they say due by May 1st, they mean that that bad boy better be in my inbox by like April 29th at the latest. You know, maybe April 30th. You might be in a place where somebody says, and that's a norm. And so you might not recognize that, or you've lived under that. So when you're at a new place and you tell somebody, hey, this is due May 1st, and they send it to you on May 1st, you're in your feelings and you're not recognizing that that might not be the norm. In addition, you might be in a place where people say May 1st, but they don't mean that they're going to get it back to you that day. That means that like around that time, at some point around that time is when you will see it, right? And that can be very disorienting. Especially if you have, for example, this is just an example. If for you, being late is a sign of disrespect, but you haven't interrogated like that you could define late different than somebody else defines late, you're having a very negative experience. And meanwhile, somebody else doesn't even know what the issue is. I think this also comes in line with like communication. So for example, I prize like kind of direct communication, like bullet pointed emails, because I'm like, wow, I get so many emails. I get so many messages that I find it so helpful to send and receive messages that are like, here's the main point. Bullet, bullet, bullet. Sounds good. Okay, great. You know, have a great day. Wishing you well. Whereas in another place, bullet pointed emails might come across like really like as very aggressive, very like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what is all this? Like, can we use complete sentences? Like, when did we stop being able to speak to each other in complete sentences? So again, those are different norms. But in both these cases, I bring up both these cases because in both of these cases, like, you can actually not even notice that what's happening is a different norm. You can jump over that completely and just be at your interpretation of that norm and be upset, right? And not take the step to be like, wait, is what you're communicating what I think you're communicating? You just sent me a bullet pointed email. So I assume that you're upset, right? And you're walking around assuming that somebody is upset. Meanwhile, in the new context you're in, like, that bullet pointed email actually is a sign of deep respect because it means that somebody was like, oh, no. We respect you. We think you're really busy. We want to be very careful about your time. We want to be very clear with our communication. And so it's like literally a sign of respecting you. But if it's a different norm than you're used to, than what you came from, you can receive it as a sign of disrespect, but not even recognize that. And so I'm potentially underlining this point too hard. But I tried to choose things where if you're listening to me, you might like have naturally been like, well, that's exactly what that means. And I hope just by listening, you can hear like, oh, there are actually different ways to interpret these things. And not only that, in different environments or different contexts, things just have evolved to mean different things. And if you don't have that curiosity, again, you will start automatically planning with your response, assuming the meaning of whatever the action word phrase, like the style of email, the timeline, the frequency of communication, you'll make all of these assumptions about what those things mean because you're not curious first to ask. you're using your old rules, right? So when you come into a place with new norms, I mean, I've seen it too many times. I think it happens almost every time you're going to do something or they're going to do something that you in a prior place would interpret as disrespectful, as inappropriate, as passive aggressive, as whatever the things, because that's what it was where you were, but it doesn't mean it's what it is where you are now. And the curiosity is so important, which is like that first step of recognizing, oh, this could be a new norm. I need to query what this means before I have a response is so important. The second step is to actually notice, like, what is your automatic reaction and where does it come from? So I kind of slipped forward in this, but it's like, once you recognize this could be a norm that's different, instead of assuming like, what is there even to say? This is very like black and white. There's no questions. Instead, being more curious, then you got to ask yourself, okay, what do I think this means? To me, what does this mean? What is my automatic reaction to a bullet pointed email? Do I automatically look at a bullet pointed email and see like, oh, thank you for being so thoughtful about my time and energy. Let's knock this out. Or do I automatically respond to a bullet pointed email like, okay, I'm gonna need you to relax like, because this is aggressive or somewhere in between, right? So again, it's noticing your automatic reactions and also where do they come from? Why do I receive a bullet pointed email a certain way and somebody else or in a different context, it's received in a totally different way? You need to be curious about your own, like, where does this come from me? Because that's actually the question that you have to ask to understand the norm. It's not really so much like, oh, is everybody here just sending these like incomplete sentences and it's fine, right? Because that's not really going to get you where you need to go. It's more about, hey, in my world, this is a signal that somebody is annoyed and frustrated with you. Is that the case here? Or is that a rule that I need to put aside? I need to retire because that's not the case here. So hopefully, like, those are two different things. One is you're just asking about the thing in front of you, like what it looks like. The second version is you're asking what it means. And for you to be able to ask that question, you have to identify for yourself, what does this mean to me? What does it mean for me? So then step three is that, like, I should say the next step, I tried not to number these because I feel like all I do is come here and like talk to y'all and number things. But it's also it's actually how I talk, which I know now because my children have started talking this way. They'll be like, first of all, how was your day? Number one, number two. And I'm like, oh, where'd they get that from? So anyway, so then I was feeling self-conscious about the fact that I always number things, but I number things because like that's literally how my brain works. So we'll just say the next step. The next step is to be open to new interpretations. So the other thing I have seen in coaching and I've seen for myself, and it's taken a few conversations for me to like, oh, okay. Sometimes I will be like, okay, so you took this action and your interpretation of it, you took X and you interpreted it as Y, but like, it might not mean that. And sometimes people aren't ready for that second statement. They're like, no, that's what it means. It's like, well, it might not though. Like, are we sure? Why are we sure? Right? Especially when you're coming into a new context, you don't know that. You don't know where people are coming from. You don't know what the new norms are. So being open to new interpretations is so important because that's the way you're going to do the actual adjustment. If you try to adjust by saying, okay, I had to adjust because these people are hyper aggressive with their bullet pointed emails, and I had to adjust to being in a hyper aggressive environment, you have not adjusted because you're wrong. Again, you're still using your own interpretation. That's not adjusting to a new norm. Adjusting to a new norm is saying, ah, I'm in a place where something that used to signal aggression actually signals respect, and I am adjusting to interpreting it that way. That's what I mean by being open to new interpretations. The next step, and this is where I'm really dragging myself, and I think I want to really highlight this because, I don't know, I think actually most of us skip over this one and the one before, is that you can actually be open to the new interpretation and you can see it, right? While you still have the emotional reactivity from the old one, right? While your emotional intelligence is still catching up. So you can mentally know, okay, a bullet pointed email does not mean aggression. That is not what that means. It's a sign of respect. But when you see it, you still are having the emotional reaction of like, oh, like that felt like a lot. You know, you still have that immediate reaction that somebody's upset, somebody's mad, whatever. I think another example of this is like norms around punctuation, honestly, is so weird. But You know, it's like if you're in a context where everybody puts exclamations all over their emails and then all of a sudden you're in a new context where nobody does, you're like sitting here thinking everybody's pissed because they're putting periods at the end of sentences. And it's like, no. But you can know that intellectually, you can be like, okay, I understand that that is like not an issue here. And actually, like exclamations is like a lot here. Exclamations mean that like there's a problem. Okay, you can understand that, but there'll be a time period where you understand it in your brain and you know it and you are accept like, oh, this is a different norm. But yourself, you still have the automatic reaction from your old context. That is where you need a lot of self-care. That is where you need to slow down. That is where you need a lot of self-awareness because you need to have beats between that initial reaction that you have and then your mental knowing of what it means so that you're making sure that you're responding or you're interpreting a situation from what you know in your brain and not what you're feeling automatically. And I think it is very possible to do this. Once you know what's going on, then you're like, oh, okay. And you can recognize, okay, I think I interpreted this way because of that guy I used to work with and I'm not interpreting it that way anymore. I am actually moving forward with this new norm. And if I assume that that is correct, and this bullet pointed email is a sign of deep respect, I'm going to respond in a similar manner, right? But that takes some time and it takes awareness. And then I think is how we start to adopt the new norm, right? And we usually first adopt it mentally, like, okay, I recognize that this is what this means. And then it's like, I don't think there's really any other recipe but time to help us adopt it emotionally. Like I haven't found a shortcut. It's just like time and practice until those emotions get rewired to be like, okay, this is really a different place and these things really mean different things. And then at that point, you might decide like, you know what? I find this new norm slightly annoying, but it's fine. Or you might find it neutral because once you recognize like, oh, okay, this is just doing business differently and I've figured it out. Thank you for the time to shift. Or it might be something that you actually like. But it's really hard to get there. That's the last step. It's really hard to get like to that decision of like, I like this. I'm mildly annoyed. I'm neutral. I'm mildly or wildly positive. It's hard to get there and be in an accurate place without going through the steps before. So I think what happens a lot is that people enter a new context. Somebody does or says something that used to mean something in the old context they're at. They don't stop to consider it could mean something different here. They react as if it means the old thing. And then they immediately start adjusting to assuming that that old thing is at play. And then they say, I have the same problem I had at the last place. It's like, no, boo, not necessarily, right? And that's an example of where like you've jumped over those middle steps of being curious, could this mean something different here? If it does, can I be aware and hold myself while I mentally understand it means something different, but emotionally I'm still having the same reaction? Then can I practice the new norm intentionally being in that space where it means this new thing? And then I get to decide whether I like it or not. They skip over all of that to, oh, here it is. We're back again. Again, I should stop saying they, I should say we. So to me, this is what adjusting to new norms look like. I think this can be a good resource if any of you out there listening are about to change contacts. Like if you're about to really change who you work with, who you work around, and what you're doing. If you're about to change your institution, if you're going to change what the work is that you're doing, you have to recognize that you're probably going to be entering into a space where signals, behaviors, professional words, types of communication, all those things that you might have been very used to occurring in one way. And honestly, you might have pride around navigating something very toxic, you know? Those things are going to shift, but there are going to be other ways in which you'll either hear the same thing you've heard before or something good seems to be different. And you've got to be able to pause and have the curiosity about what it means and not immediately attach the old meaning or your norm to the new place. Be curious. Can we be curious? Everybody else, be curious. Self-sabotage is a real thing. We sabotage ourselves, y'all. We do it. I do it. We do it all the time. And I think that's why community matters so much. And that is why when I'm shifting context, when I'm doing new things, I have got to have my ride or die community to reflect with. Because sometimes I don't even know what old norms I'm applying before I've said them out loud, right? Like I can't see it yet. I can just be like, this is deeply annoying me. Like it is annoying me because when people do this, it means that. And it's like, whoa, where'd you get that idea from? It's like, oh, because that's what's existed for me up until this point. Or that's what's existed for me for this work I do over here. But that don't have nothing to do with the people over here and how they work. And in fact, it doesn't even mean that. But without a place to reflect, a person, a relationship, more than one, hopefully, where you can work through that, it's just really easy to assume. And if you're the person listening to somebody, make sure you ask the curious questions too. Make sure you also don't assume, and make sure you're curious about the new norms. Okay, we're assuming that X means Y, but let's just double check that that's the case. And therein lies all of your communication skills, all the things I talk about having those important high stakes conversations, being honest about, hey, so this to me, I interpret this way. Is that what you meant? Is that what this means? Before we move on to the reaction, assuming that we know the meaning, we really must be able to help each other to see what we cannot. We really can't do this alone. I believe that so fully. And like recently was telling a story I hadn't told in a really long time, just about my past, honestly. And it's just so long ago. Like I didn't realize that I hadn't told the story in like a really long time. And the group I was with, they were like, it was really powerful. Actually, they reflected back, like, no wonder community matters to you so much. And I was just like, wow, yeah. Yeah, like, it really does. Like, I really don't believe we're all supposed to be doing this alone. And I think anything we can do to see each other more clearly is valuable. And I especially want people who've gone through all the courageous steps of like jumping, like taking the leap, like I encourage you all to do all the time. I just want to tell you, like, take the leap, like, do it. And when you land, remember this episode. Remember this idea of adjusting to new norms. And that a big part of it is being willing to be in a space where you got to be curious about behaviors, signals, words, etc. And you really can't assume that you know what everything means. And why do you go through that process? Because it's really helpful for you to be accurate. Now, sometimes, does it mean what you think it means? Sure. Sure. But let's not be overly certain. Let's still be curious. All right, y'all. Adjusting to new norms is what I wanted to talk to you about today. I feel like this episode was like a little bit rambly, but hopefully you stayed on for the ride. Thank you for tuning in again. Let me know how y'all are dealing with the every other week cadence. I'm so curious because I talk to a lot of people who are like, man, I got to catch up. Like they're like diehard listeners to the podcast, but they like stay 3 weeks behind, which is fine. And then like I've had one message, somebody was like, where is the podcast? So I'm really curious. Y'all come and find me on the socials and let me know. I'm at KEMIDOLL, my government name, on all platforms. Let me know how you're doing with the every other week season we're in right now. Is that working for you? And are you like, oh my God, thank God you slowed down? Because like I was never going to catch up. Are you like, oh my gosh, every Tuesday that it doesn't pop up, like I have to have like a self-care regimen. And like I have to have a support system because it's not there. Like I'm so curious. If you happen to be in the second group and you are not yet subscribed to the newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter, please. First of all, you will hear from me more often. Second of all, in addition to the awesome newsletter content that we have, where we have curated some of my best newsletters to send you, in addition to that, I am writing new monthly newsletters. I haven't done this in a couple of years, y'all. I'm writing new monthly newsletters this year. So if you think about it, basically, any week where you don't have a podcast, you very likely to have a newsletter. So that's that. All right. Take care, y'all. I love you and I mean it. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening with me today. I appreciate your time as I know it's so valuable. I hope this episode was helpful to you and I hope you feel energized to go out and claim your unapologetic career. See you soon.